A massive part is their rookie receiver, Keon Coleman. I think number one, his feel in zone has really started to show up. Number two, his strength, getting off of coverage down the field and realizing I'm open, get my eyes back to the quarterback. I think his understanding of the contested tough catches down in the red zone have continued to show themselves. And when he needs to expect the football from his quarterback, if he continues to take some of these steps like he has over the past 2 or 3 weeks, he, along with Shakir Kincaid, they become a very dangerous pass-catching group.
Dan Orlovsky on ESPN talking about Keon Coleman. Another show-up and show-out performance from him. A little bit of an edge there. There's some chatter going on between he and Woolen out on the field. And then that block where he got penalized. I mean, you win by 21. Like, whatever. There were, I think, offsetting penalties on that, as it turned out anyway. So it didn't even really ding them. But, man, Coleman's emergence is one of the things that's on the list that has me feeling so good today, because I just did not expect him to be as much of a factor this soon as he's been. I mean, he is making big plays. He's making the contested catches, but he's also running with the ball after he catches it. We've seen that now a few times. It just really is coming along here. And I think as he learns to be able to put more on his plate, I should go back and get the transcript, as I'd like to know the exact wording. But you know, I noticed this. I pointed it out yesterday on postgame. You know, we run these news conferences. Josh Allen is usually first after the game is over. And he, of course, was asked about Coleman and said something to the effect of, when he knows what he's supposed to be doing, he's been really good. Something to that effect. It may not have been that critical. It probably was more couched than that. But basically the sentiment was, like, when, you know, the stuff he knows how to do right, he does really well. It's basically, that's a more complimentary way to say it. I'm paraphrasing the whole thing anyway, but the spirit of the thing was, like, made me think there's more there, which makes sense. He's a rookie coming out of college. You know, it's going to take some time to learn all the nuances of playing the position in the NFL and all the different route concepts and all the different stuff that you can expect to need to learn. Maybe he's not all the way there yet, which, you know, on one hand, you might go like, oh, man, I wish he'd picked everything up faster. On the other hand, he's already impacting games positively for the Bills. And there might be, I'm saying might because, you know, I don't know for sure, but it sounds to me like there might be more there, you know. When he gets more comfortable and confident, and they get more comfortable and confident in him, and when he knows how to do more things, moving him around could be really a weapon for them, could get really interesting with him. And it's already really, really good. 803-0550 is the phone number. I am the Bulldog. Mike Shope is out sick today. Lines are open for you right now. You want to talk about yesterday's game. You want to talk about the AFC. You want to talk about the AFC East. Whatever. You want to talk about that incredible Hail Mary last night from Washington by Jaden Daniels. You know, everything's on the table here as we're making our way through a Football Monday, which is brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Allie is up first this segment. Hi, Allie. Thanks for calling. You're on the air here on WGR.
Hey, thank you for having me. I was just going to call in. I got to go to the game yesterday with my dad. I took him for his 60th birthday.
Awesome.
And it was my mom and my sister were watching it back in Wyoming and were like texting us, and they were saying like, oh my gosh, we can hear like Bills Mafia on the TV. And we were way, way, way up in like the nosebleeds, but it felt, I've been to one Bills game like in Highmark, and it felt like we were surrounded by Bills fans. And it was, I would imagine, very, very demoralizing for the Seahawks fans. It was awesome. Halftime, it was like a big Bills tailgate party.
Love it.
Despite the rain and all of that. Yeah, people were like in a froth. It was pretty, pretty great. We made our way down to that lower bowl, and I think probably there was maybe 40 people in our section that all did the same thing at the end to like go, you know, basically tip our hats for the boat racing that just happened. But anyways, it was just, it was really great. It was, I have not, it was sort of like gleeful. It was how bad they were playing and how good we were playing. So, it kind of felt like a party pretty much from the time Keon snatched that touchdown with the, whatever his right hand or left hand, the one-handed grab, through to the end.
Really great. Really great. Great job taking your 60-year-old dad to an away built. Well, does he live in Wyoming too?
He does. Yeah. I transplanted down to Denver, but we're from Wyoming. And,
awesome.
We wanted to get out in the Seattle game. There was tons of Bills fans from Montana and Idaho. All of us in the Western, you know, Bills Mafia diaspora came and showed out. So it was really, really fun. And it sounds like it made its way through the TV as well. So
yeah, it definitely did, Allie. There's no question about it. Thank you for the call, really, and for sharing the story. It definitely came through on TV. Where I really noticed it the most was that once the game ended, I caught just a couple of glimpses of it on social media. I mentioned this on postgame yesterday. I mean, I don't know. You don't really need to know the inner workings and machinations of how we do this. But, like, you know, we get done. The game ends. I don't get to see Tom Brady talking to Josh Allen on the field because we're doing our own version of that. And so we're getting ready, and I just usually don't see that end of the game scene when we're on postgame. And at some point, maybe a half an hour, 45 minutes into our postgame coverage here on WGR, I started seeing social media posts of the lower bowl. I wouldn't say it was full of fans, but like Bills fans, like Allie is saying, all gathered behind the bench, and some players were out there interacting with them, and it was just a super cool scene, which is what prompted me to even mention it yesterday on postgame. That was just such a cool scene, it's the best. it just is. Greg is up next. Hi, Greg. Thanks for calling. You're on WGR.
Hey, you were talking about Coleman, and I just want to, you know, talk about the excitement around him. When they drafted him, I was just hoping he would be Gabe Davis, that role. You know what I mean? Get your 700 yards, your 7 or 8 touchdowns, and then Shakir and Kincaid can take, you know, the additional reps that Diggs used to get. And it would even out, and the offense would look all right. If you were to trade Davis, you know, trade me Davis for Coleman right now, nobody would take that trade.
No.
He already surpassed what Davis does. And is an upgrade to that position as a rookie. So it just leaves you to, you know, there's so much more on the plate there. But he's more dynamic in the field. And the selection of throws, you know, they threw those two, you know, little jump balls in the end zone to him early. Davis doesn't get those balls. And I can't remember any Bills getting those kind of chances where they just lob it up to you. And they did it twice, and the kid showed out by making the one-handed grab, you know, to put confidence that he can do that at any point instead of slamming Josh Allen in there. You have a player that can make that type of play. Just something that we haven't seen before. And you can just tell Josh is more confident in passing to him. It grows every week than he ever was in Davis. So in terms of just year one of a rookie that you're not sure about, you know, filling a role of a player that just left, he's already surpassed it, and he's still got half a season to go. He's going to get his 700 yards and 7 touchdowns, which is what Gabe Davis did consistently. And this kid, obviously, you'd think there's more meat on the bone there. So a lot of excitement around this player. Fiend did a good job, and it's just fun to watch him. He's got the personality, and you know, the expectations were not high, and he's definitely surpassed everything I thought he was going to do already. So. Just loving how that pick and the player and how it's evolving.
Gotcha, Greg. Thank you. Appreciate the call very much. Yeah, I mean, there was a lot. There was a lot there. I mean, 100% would not go anywhere near. Gabe Davis was fine. Was fine player, but limited. And to me, never ever had potential to become more than what he was. And, like, there is value. Jacksonville valued it. The Bills valued it to a certain extent. They didn't value it to the tune of $13 million a year in a free agent contract, but it has value. But what Davis was never going to become was a number one receiver. And we'll see about Coleman ascending to that. I think it's not nuts to be thinking about it. And with how well he's already playing and the big play potential that you see from him, I think it's on the table. And I really wasn't expecting that idea to be in any of our heads this early, if at all this year. But I think you're seeing this player develop in real time and make progress in real time. And what he did yesterday, I mean, that's one of the best cover corners in the league. And Coleman had a day. I mean, it wasn't as prolific as last week, of course, but still, making that play in the end zone and some of the other things he did in the game, and really the body of work so far. The numbers overall, 21 receptions, 3 touchdowns, almost 400 yards, 386, I see, 396. I can't, boy, I'm squinting. My eyes are so bad. It's been really good. He's averaging 18.9 yards per reception. That is a nice number right there. Certainly there are bigger name rookie receivers that are performing. Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, who's going to play tonight. He's been out for a couple of games, but has been back. Bigger names, more accolades, and, they're producing. Coleman is right there. I mean, he is right there, and it's just a tremendous development for them to have that moving forward. And it his playing like he's playing already, and Shakir playing like he's playing. I mean, do you even think about? I'm seeing on Twitter, McDermott talked a little while ago, and they're still, they don't have updates really on guys who missed yesterday's game, Bernard and Curtis Samuel, and like I said last week, DeSalle. Curtis Samuel, who, what, where, huh? Where does he fit in exactly? I mean, right now, I've got Coleman and I've got Cooper and I have got Shakir, and like those are my dudes, man. I am riding with them. I think, sure, other guys will have roles, but I think this team would be insane not to be heavily leaning on those three in their receiving core. I think it would be nuts. So we'll see how that unfolds as we keep moving forward here. Thank you again for the calls. 803-0550 is the number. Time for you to get in. Vibes yesterday in Seattle. Vibes overall. However you're feeling, we're here to talk about it. Mike is out sick today along with Zach Jones. I'm the Bulldog, and this is WGR.